Thank you, Susan. Well, it was the week when NPHET said that the time is right to move on, as the all-important metrics are looking positive. But this good news came with a warning to stick with public health measures as the vaccine rollout reaches as many people as possible. There are still COVID outbreaks and hotspots, such as Donegal. Sinn Féin TD Padraig McLaughlin spoke today on RTE's This Week in, the Week in Politics programme, and he said he's been asking the government for weeks for more mass vaccination and walk-in testing centres for Donegal.
Well, I made it clear that only weeks ago in the Dáil, I raised with the Minister for Health the need for more than just one mass vaccination centre for a county the size of Donegal. At that time, the Minister praised the people of Donegal for getting the numbers down so well. But the reality is that we do need more vaccination centres in the county. We need more walk-in test centres, and we need an upsurge in effort by the government. You see, it's okay for the Minister for Health or the Chief Medical Officer to challenge the people of any county on their responsibilities, but they have responsibilities too, and they need to live up to them.
TD Padraig McLaughlin speaking there on The Week in Politics. Well, Paul Reid is the CEO of the HSE and he joins us from our Athlone studio. Welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Carol.
Briefly to Donegal, where in Milford cases are five times the national average. Are there walk-in testing centres in Milford and Letterkenny specifically? And do you plan to add any more in the coming days?
Yeah, just make a few specific points. I think firstly, we need to be really careful that we don't stigmatise any location or any people. I mean, Donegal is a really big county and like many counties and many populations have made really big sacrifices to get us where we are, from business, enterprise, people, society generally. So certainly within Donegal, some parts of the county are below the national levels, but we do have areas that are significant areas of concern. You just listed some of them there. The engagement yesterday with the Minister and some TDs and other groups as well was very helpful. From our perspective, we already have and we do have a test site in Letterkenny, which is a walk-in facility. But equally, following on from yesterday's meeting, we'll continue to look at further walk-in sites that we look at based on the outcome from yesterday for the testing capacity. But I will just say, Carol, very briefly, I think the important message for everybody, not just in Donegal, you know, testing is our second line of defence and it's an important one and we'll strengthen it always. But public health measures are actually the first line of defence, not just in Donegal, but all across the country.
Indeed. Now, there's none in Milford at the moment. Is it realistic to expect that walk-in test centres can pop up in every area that shows a spike over the coming weeks? Because there will be outbreaks and spikes as we start to reopen.
No, and that is my point. You know, we do have, if you look at our test centres all across the country, we have about 35 static test centres and then we have about six or so pop-up centres that we move and we mobilise into areas of where we see high transmission levels. And this will be an example of where we'll do that. Okay. But equally, we have to be conscious that, you know, it is, I'll restate, public health measures are the primary first line defence here all the time.
And that's what you're dependent on. Now, it is clear that the vaccines are having the positive effect that you'd hoped in the older age groups. And we saw 4,000 over 70s getting their second dose there at the Helix yesterday with you. How many doses do you plan to administer this coming week?
Yeah, I think, Cara, we're at a really point of really good momentum, which I think has given the whole country a lift overall on the vaccinations. And I'll just give you next week's very briefly, looking towards 220,000 to 240,000 vaccines. But if I can just take a moment, if you look at where we're at now, there's over 1.59 million administered totally. 30% of the population have now received their dose one, 1.14, and 12% of the population has received their dose two. And just very briefly, if you look at this week alone, our 7-day run rate is over 200,000. We'll most likely have well over 190,000 by the end of this current week, from, if you like, Monday to Sunday. And as you've mentioned, you know, yesterday, the biggest vaccination centre ever completed in the history of the state, vaccines, 4,600 in the Helix. And finally, Carol, if I can just say, in terms of April alone, we will be well over 780,000 vaccines completed in April alone. So the momentum is there. And what we're really doing now this weekend is seeing how do we keep that.
Okay, and I suppose this is totally dependent on deliveries. Are you sure of getting the big deliveries that will be needed for these coming weeks? Because we're now into May and June, weeks when we had hoped to administer 250 every week and even talk this week of going up to 450 in June. Are the deliveries in line for that?
Well, as you'll be familiar, Carl, what we're doing this weekend is looking forward now to May and June, and based on the recent NIAG advice, what is the approach we take about a revised plan? I've referenced it as version 27, but it is a revised plan which we're bringing through, which does look, firstly, exactly as you said it, firstly, trying to get clarity from each of our suppliers with now four vaccines. What are delivery dates? What are the supplies? How predictable can they be? Because we know we've had a really rocky delivery, particularly from AstraZeneca. Janssen is a new vaccine on the block. We have to see how that behaves in terms of delivery. So that's the first thing we're doing. Then we're looking through now all of the ages and the profiles and how we revise that new plan.
And of course, one of the issues is the 650,000 single dose J&J due in at the end of June. And of course, that nicely matches the 650 over 50s for which it's recommended by NIAC. Could that come earlier and solve that problem for you? Or are you going to have to ask for changes to that part of the age-based rollout?
Well, I think all we can go on, Carol, is experience. And experience hasn't been that we're getting deliveries earlier. Experience has been actually that they're pushed out. So I think that would be good to have, but we can't build a plan based on they might come earlier. So what we are doing with the revised plan are three things. Firstly, we're going to continue with government policy, which is continue down through age, because that's where the risk factor is. Secondly, we're looking at the supply of vaccines and a date they're due. How do we utilise all vaccines? Because we don't want 300,000 or 400,000 vaccines sitting in a fridge not being able to utilise.
Leftovers. So will the 40 to 50s be asked to register to maybe take up ones that are there as the others wait for the J&J?
Well, what we are doing, first of all, is we're looking this weekend. We're still at it. We'll be at it today and tomorrow. We're looking at all of those factors that we're factoring in, supply lines, the age groups. Is there a potential that one age group could be called in parallel with another? That would be fine to an extent, Carl, but what wouldn't be fine that you would be dropping down through ages. So, for example, to make it clear, if you were still within your 50s and waiting to do some 50 years and plus, and you were all of a sudden down in 30s, that wouldn't be good from a public health perspective. Because we know where direct risk factors are. So it's a real bit of caution. One of the key restraining factors, just to be clear on it, is because of the fact we can only use the AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson for the over 50s. And that does offer a significant constraint on us, not just in terms of how we progress through the ages, but also in terms of maximising all channels, and particularly pharmacies, as we scale up the programme overall.
When might you call in pharmacies? Because they are wondering if they'll be used and who they might be vaccinating.
And this is all part of the analysis, Carl, that we're doing the weekend, because we know the mRNA vaccines are not suitable for pharmacies in terms of the, you know, once the vial is broken, the times, the delivery, the transportation, logistics issues. So the Johnson & Johnson and the AstraZeneca are suitable. But again, it all is based on the factors, the population, the supplies.
Okay, so there's no decision yet on that. There are reports in the Sunday Business Post today that the EU is doing a deal for big numbers of Pfizer and Novavax for delivery later this year and into 2023. Is that welcome news? And does it suggest that we're going to need a plan for an annual COVID vaccination here in Ireland?
Well, it certainly demonstrates that there's a strategic approach being taken to this at an EU level, which we would strongly welcome. I mean, the evidence is not fully clear yet about the duration and times for vaccines, whether boosters are needed each year or every 6 months. That evidence will emerge, I've no doubt, soon. But it does demonstrate a strategic approach about a multi-annual approach to vaccines. We would welcome that. I know our own government and government officials would be engaged in that process. And from a HSE perspective, we would also be looking at, should that situation emerge, how would we organise an annual vaccination programme? Because, you know, if you are doing it when the society is open, you don't have the same capacity in terms of vaccination centres where we currently have them. So we would be taking a strategic look at that too.
Right. And are the vaccination centres, are they being as efficient as you had hoped for? There is some suggestion, again, in a report in the Business Post that they are not putting through as many vaccinations as you might have hoped to keep the numbers up.
No, I would reject that very clearly, Carl. If you look at what's happening this week, we've had our highest day ever this week on Friday of over 44,000 completed vaccination centres are running today. You can see many people going in on social media getting their vaccine today all across the country. And so we have mobilised well. 30 centres are up and running already. 36 centres will be up and running from next week. Two further centres will be added the following week. So the staffing and deployment is going through those. So we are turning out based on whatever supplies, Carl. I think that is a key factor. What supplies we have determines each weekly outcome.
Okay. And just very briefly, what are we going to do with the young people, the under 18s, the other 20% of the population? Is there any plan being developed for those? And we just have a very short time here.
Yeah, very briefly, look, the 16 to 18 are being, the Pfizer mRNA is the only licensed product for that. Medically vulnerable are being addressed, 16 to 18 year olds, as part of the current programme. Our programme does go down through all the cohorts. The last cohorts is 16 to 24. And again, emerging evidence, even younger, about vaccines being available. You will have read there yesterday, between 13 and 15 year olds. So we will obviously implement a plan once government decides any policy issues.
Okay, Paul Reid, Chief Executive of the HSE. Thanks very much for joining us today from Athlone.